thing that's with me every day, which is my cell phone. My cell phone, to charge it, it's not just a matter of plugging it in. I need to leave it on charge for a period of time. So maybe I could get our panel to perhaps give a few comments. Where are the real challenges that may affect the way we do business in mining, where maybe we're not able to actually maintain the actual speeds of operation and haulage that we've been so used to into the 40, 50 kilometer per hour range? Maybe we need to be looking at operations that run slower. And what does this really present for mines? What are we really facing for the future with the ability to be able to charge online? Is that something that's still a little bit of a mystery, or do we feel that maybe we have some inclination, we have some information that's telling us there is a direction that's coming out of this? I don't know who'd like to start with that. I mean, Adrian, you're sitting on the microphone, so there's one there. Maybe, you know, this is sort of...
Hot mic.
Do you hear me?
There we are. So please, go ahead. Let's maybe have some commentary. And maybe I can ask the audience to think about this and maybe provide some feedback and ask our panelists some questions as well.
I mean, I think if you look at the numbers, if you have a 793, what's the 2 megawatts is the top power rating or something like that?
It can go higher.
Let's say 3. Let's say you have a fuel tank of 2,000-3,000 liters of diesel. I think that roughly translates into something like 28 megawatt hours worth of energy. So that means to charge the battery full from flat, you need, at the 21 megawatt hours, you need 28 megawatts for an hour charging. You know, that's an hour long at 28 megawatts to fill that battery full, right? And if we want to charge it at the rate of 800 or 1,000 liters per minute, the way we do now, you know, to do it in less than 3 minutes, you know, multiply that by 10. So we're talking about half a gigawatt worth of charger, not 150 kilowatts or 300 kilowatts. So I think it's a non-starter to hope that we'll ever be able to charge at the rate that we do for diesel when we use batteries. We should think differently, in my view, about that, right? We should not try and emulate the energy density of diesel in the battery density that we have, and then imagine just the electrical infrastructure that you have to put in place to have these peak power supplies in order to do that. So I think we should think differently and go the other way and say, how can we reduce first of all, the amount of power you need in these systems radically? So you don't need 3 megawatts to drive up a hill from a battery. And so you do that with trolley assist. And then further, you know, coming back to things like railway again, try and look at the place where you have to have the highest power density because of gravity that you work against. Try and make those with technologies that are radically different and use the trucks. On more level fields, we need spatial and capacity flexibility, and you can use batteries and then design the mines differently. So my view is not trying to solve how can we get the batteries to behave like diesel, because we won't get to the energy density like that, and we're chasing the wrong thing. In my view, I think we should turn it around and work from the other side, and try and find places where things work. Because my view, just the technical parts of the technical challenges of trying to make an electric system look and work like a diesel system is a non-starter. I think we're smarter than that, and we can use all the skills we have to do the other way.
Yeah. Maybe, Joy, I can ask you, you know, in terms of your experiences over many years of working with trolley assist and working from the actual power draw requirement into wheel motors, both with Siemens and with GE, Wabtec, in that vein, are we looking at opportunities coming up in the future, do you believe, that would allow us to operate with a lower density battery and having wheel motors that we're able to perform at a higher efficiency, maybe in a different mode? Is there opportunities on the horizon, do you believe?
The way I look at it is a truck. We just talked about the ultra-class trucks. They have a fuel tank of 600, 700, 800 gallons, right? And by all the analysis that we have seen, best case scenario would be you're able to fit maybe a megawatt hour, maybe 1.5 megawatt max. You can't fit more than that. So then the question is, how would you operate such a machine to still have the same performance as the traditional machine, right? And I guess that's where we have to look into these combinations of how you operate the machine with overheads or something else like that, right? The second thing is we talk about charging, fast charging. When you put a certain amount of battery, you're not going to drain that battery from 100% to 0%, then the battery's dead. Best case scenario for these kind of applications, you would use maybe 50-60% of the state of charge, right? Otherwise, you know, you would be changing batteries like tires. You don't want that. So I at this time, as I see things, and we have run, you know, a lot of simulations, etc. Where is the most demanding piece in the mine? It's the client, right? Get a trolley assist power there, okay? A pit, a dump, they're flat. You could run a battery based, you know, just pure battery propulsion. And then while it's traveling, you charge as much as you could. When you're coming down, charge as much as you could. And then there's a time penalty, which you just said, either you slow down or go stationary, stand still, not stationary, stand still, and say, do a fast charging for 2-3 minutes. The diesel tank that we talked about is for the whole shift. You would refuel after a shift, or when you're putting a battery of 1.5 megawatt hours, you probably need to charge every 2 trips or something like that, right? So it's not about the technology, it's about how you use it or how you run the system, right? I mean, I think that's where we have to get creative. We have to develop, I call it opportunity charging, that whenever you get a chance, charge your batteries so that you have enough charge to run the truck when there is no line, etc. So it's where you run. I think that's how I see it.
Yeah. I mean, George, maybe I could, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit, you know, outside of this forum. You know, when we talk about opportunities to actually get on charge to find points, when we're on a ramp, the charge we're receiving, we're using. The fact we're able to double those speeds, we're using all that power. We don't have any extra power available. Certainly when we look at the Copper Mountain case, when we look at Blyden and ATIC, when we're looking at those operations, the power that's being received into the onboard system is being used to climb the ramp. When you get to the top of the ramp, there's no power that could have gone into a battery charge. You know, is there an opportunity in looking at extended distances on the flat where there could be a catenary system, a rail system for online charging, and we use predictable distances between the top of a ramp and the crusher, which, for all intents and purposes, if it's a reasonable distance, that provides us an opportunity to be on charge, that when it leaves the crusher, when it leaves the top of the ramp again and comes back down, regenerative braking maybe, but then when it's doing the rest of the cycle, it's actually now under battery power. Maybe that's how we manage some of the, you know, if we only have a megawatt available, maybe the opportunity is using the available known predictable distances in our operations that leave, for example, on our ore hauls to do that. Would that be something that might be feasible in terms of tackling this? And perhaps mines can think about as they start to think, what is the opportunity for trolley that could be extended into a longer rail or trolley system where we're operating on the flat, but not for actually propel, we're actually relying on that primarily for charge.
So first, I just wanted to agree with what Adrian and Joy said in terms of trying to fit the electrical charging system in the same mold as diesel fuel. It's not the right way to go. Yes, we do have challenges in the energy density of the batteries, but eventually that energy density will improve. However, it's not going to improve this fast, and we want to get going. So we have to think a little bit differently, like you said. Look at opportunities to charge the battery more frequently, whether it's on flats or whether it's on even downhill in some cases. However, there is also a cost challenge that we have to consider. Putting up infrastructure for a trolley is not a cheap feat. So you always have to balance it. I want to go back to when we're going uphill, yes, we're using all the energy to move the vehicle, but there's opportunity to add more power and also charge. The question here would be, or the challenge would be, that interface connection point between the truck's pantograph and the cable and how much energy you can push through these points. So we have to step back and look at other areas, whether it's flats or whether maybe opportunity charging when you are dumping or when you are loading. Of course, there are some challenges there, but looking at these opportunities to have a quick burst of energy may help resolve, you know, these limitations on the distance.
Maybe, Tomas, I can ask you a little bit about, you know, one of the things that Adrian brought up was literally we really are not able to mimic what diesel has done, or, you know, pound for diesel fuel versus kilowatt in terms of available power or in terms of hydrogen capability. And you mentioned in your presentation that in the installation of the complete unit, both the hydrogen and the battery packs, it represented a substantial increase in weight over the engine that was it was replacing. Are we actually within vision into the future of seeing battery technology, hydrogen fuel technology being smaller and more compact and able to deliver at least the existing plan or maybe greater power delivery? Is that within the horizon of something that can be expected? You know, for example, within my lifetime, before I die, can I expect to see this?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. And maybe I'm the odd man out here on the electrification panel to talk about hydrogen and fuel cells, but I'll take that role. The fuel cell development curve is just now sort of accelerating as they get economies of scale. We've seen announcements for fuel cell factories that in a single year before 2030 might output what all fuel cells have been made in the past 20. So those kinds of economies of scale will definitely drive prices down, improve performance, and I think can improve the power density significantly. We've already seen just between the truck you saw today, this morning that I presented, the incorporation of things like the coolant pumps and the air compressors into the actual housings of the fuel cells, making them more compact and easier to integrate. All those things happening right now. So I definitely see that. And to the model of putting trolley assist on a ramp, absolutely, that would be fantastic. I think that's the best use case. When you get up onto the flatlands, though, fuel cells are a great option to recharge your batteries. They prefer running at a stable set point. They're highly efficient compared to a combustion engine. And if you've got it on board already because you're trying to minimize your battery size to make it more manageable, that's a great way to recharge your batteries long term.
Maybe I could ask, you know, anyone on the panel, you know, are we positioned, are our OEMs actually in their right mind? Do we really believe that we're going to get a wholly battery electric vehicle by 2030? I mean, we're talking about 2027 in some cases. Certainly, Komatsu and Caterpillar have both predicted they will have a fully operational production model by 2027. Is that real, or are we just, you know, hedging bets here that we can get there? Hedging on the fact that we will have development in other technologies, is that something that's sort of overshadowing the belief that we'll get to that point? No, sure, go ahead. Absolutely, Adrian, you can talk.
I think it's possible now, even if you combine it with trolley assist and stuff like that, and you design the mine properly. But I think one thing we should not forget: we're just assuming that power will be available 24/7 the way it is now. We should not forget that if you look at the hydrogen as well, we're talking about doing that with solar PV and wind and renewable, which is intermittent. So you'd have to, in order to have a 24-hour operation, you have to add significant storage. You know, and hydrogen compared to electricity is quite inefficient to generate, so you need twice as much as solar. And then the volumetric density is low. So you have, there's horses for courses. There'll be places, I think, where the hydrogen fuel cell truck, which is less efficient than the battery electric one, will work because of the resources and location, and there's other complexities. But I think it's possible now with the technology, if you design the mine smart, if you design the electrical system smart, and you do all those things in from a systems optimization perspective, I think it's possible to do that well before 2030. If we have to wait for somebody to take the existing truck and morph it into a battery electric truck fully without trolley assist, without other stuff, I think we wait a lot longer, and it's not the smartest thing to do to wait for that to come, because it's not the best solution.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Tomas or George, on this one?
I'll say, yeah, certainly agree on the efficiencies overall. It comes down to, though, is there also even, you know, a grid out there that can support that, right? And so if you build in a remote area and try to support the several megawatt hours of charging that you need to do from you know, a small solar field or something like that, while a hydrogen fuel can be stored for those periods of intermittency, have it on site, have it available for you to continue the operations when the sun isn't shining. That fuel medium offers a different sort of mechanism than the direct charging need of the grid to have available. So it's a different model. I think it's one that's more similar to the diesel model the miners are used to today. May require a little bit less change overall, but absolutely agree that if you can incorporate a fully electric solution from the beginning, from a systems approach, that will be far more effective overall.
One of the comments we had this morning was the assurance of the grid, the assurance that the power provider is going to be there for us, and what happens if the power is not delivered because there is a shortage within the region and there is a greater industry, and certainly industry is ever expanding in all of our regions, and we find ourselves, you know, at the mercy of the power provider. Do we think the power providers are really ready for our mining industry to go electric?
Maybe I'll take that. I'll answer your previous question. I think the OEMs are on track to deliver the solutions, absolutely. However, technology is evolving, so what you get in 2027 may look different than what you get in 2030, because it's, and that's how the systems are being designed to be flexible, that as battery technology changes, you're able to adapt quickly, right? That's one thing happening. But in my mind, I have a different question or concern, is the availability. Who's fighting for batteries? Every transportation vehicle, they're fighting for batteries. The stationary storage, the power plant guys, they're fighting for batteries. So it's just a question of who will get the priority for batteries, right? I mean, that's something very important, that you have to secure your capacity. I mean, you can promise, I'm going to build 500 battery trucks. Do you have batteries for 500 trucks? That's a question. I think that's being worked out right now. And then that again points to more mining. You have to mine more, get the minerals, right? So that is one concern. Same with maybe fuels. Doesn't matter which fuel you're talking about, renewable diesel, biofuels, hydrogen. Do you have it available, right? And who gets priority, right? So that's one thing. But coming to power, yes, it's a very valid question. I mean, we know of mine sites where they went with trolley assists and then they said there's no power. What do you do? That's a problem. Your whole use case goes out the window.
That was
right?
A good choice, wasn't it? You know, I'll go trolley, but I got no power.
Right.
That's a good choice. You know, has anyone here done that? Hopefully not.
So I think energy security is extremely important as well, right? You know, mines need to secure the capacity that, okay, I need a demand of 30 megawatts more. I need to have that. So I think, so it's not just the solution or the vehicle, it's availability and of energy. I think that's important, which has to be kind of looked into.
You bring up a very good point, Joy, in terms of, you know, where do we stand in terms of priority within the market for batteries? And if I think about where we stand in terms of tires, and we've always struggled with tires, we ever struggled with tires. We represent, as a mining industry, roughly just over 3% of the entire tire market. So are we that important to Michelin and Bridgestone and Goodyear when we only represent 3% and they can make more money on the other 97% for on-road traffic? And so are we moving into the realms of something where maybe we're not the important client in terms of battery? When, you know, Elon Musk is saying, hey, I will buy another cobalt mine, I'll buy this, that, and the other, and, you know, I want all this to go towards Tesla batteries. If that is the easy mark in terms of battery supply, do we even feature on the radar of the battery development groups? Or is that something that we then, you know, say to Tomas, okay, you know, maybe First Mode should get into this business and you should start designing us the next generation battery? I mean, given your expertise in terms of the hydrogen cell and everything else, I mean, are we getting into the realms of something that we really have not comprehended? Where do we sit within the market of importance in terms of saying there will be an assured supply of batteries at the density we require to be able to do the job with our haulage?
I was going to comment on the previous point, if you
don't
mind,
go ahead.
With the utilities, because you need the batteries and you need the power to charge the batteries and they're around the trolley. And I think it's key that the mining industry, maybe I'll use this word, lobby the utilities to make sure utilities is making infrastructure available. Because usually mines are far off and there's a lot of communities on the way, a lot of industries that gets built on the way. And, you know, the expression, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. We really have to lobby the utilities and make sure they're making enough power available for future expansions, future mines, and additional capacity. Because it can take a good 3 to 5 years for a utility to add additional capacity on a line that feeds a mine. So that part is important.
Yeah, this is starting to sound a little like the snake that sees its own tail as a threat, starts to eat it, and you're basically, you suddenly realize you've eaten yourself. I mean, when I look at the power providers that we have across the states, across the provinces in Canada, in Australia, many of the power providers are government controlled, or they're government legislated, and so there are restrictions imposed by legislation and governments in terms of controlling the cost of power in regions for communities. So we tend to see that, and the governments are, in many cases, as we've seen with things like autonomous haulage, our biggest holdup in terms of having OH&S legislation to allow autonomous to proceed. And we've seen that as one of the biggest holdups in terms of progression with autonomous. Is this something that we could see also biting us in terms of something we have to consider, which is if we need to see that increased electrification and have that power available, is this not only not just lobbying the power producers, but it's also lobbying government? I mean, are we getting into politics here, George? I mean, Tomas, you've now moved into the depths of the political regions in Washington. You know, you're now at Centralia. I'm sure there will be politicians barking at the door with one thing or another. Are we getting ourselves into dangerous things that we want to try and avoid as basically technical scientific people within our industry?
I think it takes everyone, right? It takes a whole system approach to the change. We can't just say that the technology is going to be the holy grail and everyone will just follow it because obviously everyone knows that we're right. That's never going to work. It hasn't worked, right? We've seen that in consumer electronics and technologies like that, that just because it was fundamentally better didn't mean that it won in the market or it made sense for everyone to adopt. And so it will take collaboration with the political angle, support through legislation, making things like permitting easier, providing grants for things like hydrogen production or improved battery production and recycling and things like that to bring those all forward so that it can be attractive for everyone, right? Because at the end of the day, we're all running businesses here and they have to make money and that takes everything working together. It can't just be that, well, we were right, but now we're out of business.
Maybe I can go ahead, Andy.
I just want to add something on the previous picture in terms of size and importance of mining industry versus. So I work a lot with utilities as well. They are going to struggle in their current grids just to handle electrification of heating as well as EVs, right? So they're adding significant amounts of EV to their systems. We're talking about 2 billion vehicles that people are seeing electrified compared to 40,000 mining trucks out there. You know, maybe 10,000 a year sold, maybe that has to increase significantly. But we also have to remember that coal mining makes up half of all age today. So if coal goes away, there's capacity that, so I don't see a massive increase in haul truck requirements from an electrification perspective. So you could see a niche market developing for batteries and specific type of fuel cells. That's for the mining industry. That's not so onerous. But I think, therefore, we have to think about beyond reliance on the energy providers or utilities, because you'll have to increase the transmission capacity, which is super expensive. You also have to look at where other places are in the mine where you can gain the energy that you're now wasting. You know, 10 years from now, we won't be running sort of mills as inefficiently as we do now, hopefully, which is probably one of the least efficient things that runs on the mine, right, and consumes 3% of the world's electricity. You now get stuff like the anvil hammer, that's 50% more energy efficient. So if you think about what is the most energy consuming thing on the mine that runs continuously, that would be that super inefficient mill. Now if you can get 50% of the power away from that, and you can relocate it to the trucks, you're already starting to see how the system balances. And then you're smart about redesigning the mine, then you're smart about integrating the energy systems, and then you put solar PV in place, and then you think about maybe battery swapping, you think about storing at night. There's a whole bunch of stuff we can do. We can't just say we're going to electrify the whole trucks and then have to go to somebody to supply that power, because everything is changing. And we can't rely on other people because they have their own problems. Really, there's so much technology available, and most places where mining would be, in the southern places, there's a significant amount of power available. So, yeah.
Steve's trying to cut us off. I'm not going to let that happen. So I really want to throw it out to the audience. I mean, you know, are you guys ready for electrification? Terry, Pebble of Liao, you know, can you think outside of the box and you know, say, you know, we're going to head in this direction. What would it take? You're now at a new operation. You need a power plant for the whole country, and that's when the country has not insufficient or no power. Yeah, so maybe the mine has to build the power plant that provides the power. Wow, that's starting to sound like, you know, Centralia that had its own power. You have your own power plant, don't you? Didn't that come with the property?
Yeah, but it used to be coal powered. So.
That's okay. You can clean coal. We can deal with that. Is there any questions from the audience who'd like to ask our panel? There must be someone. Dom, I know you're bursting to ask something. Dom and I have been on this journey talking about electrification for the last year for a short while, and what would it take to electrify the oil sands? And, you know, it's been a big question, and suddenly we drew George into that and Joy into that a little bit for those conversations and a number of other people in the room. Yes, sir, please go up to the microphone.
It might be a little bit out of the norms, but has anyone researched about the small modular reactors for the mines?
Oh, I love the question. Thank you so much. Who'd like to go first? Small modular reactors. You don't want to touch it with a barge. Adrian, go for it.
I did look at that, and I think you know, there's potential for something like that. I don't think it's going to come down the cost curve the way the promise is that it would be. So there's nothing today more cheap than solar PV. It's now today at 3.5 cents a kilowatt hour. You know, those modular reactors are promised to be below 10 cents a kilowatt hour, but that's a promise. There's about 40 in the world that's being worked on.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about putting pilots in place 10 years from now, maybe later, and then there's the scaling, and then there's the regulation, and then what do you do with the waste? Typically, those reactors have to run with enriched uranium about 20%, you know. So on and on and on. So yes, there may be a solution for that in the northern periods, but we cannot all sit and wait for that to come. Because, you know, I think the promise is not going to be met. It sounds like a good solution. Lots of people are throwing lots of money into it. But it will come too late. And so we can't bank on that, is my view. If it comes, great. There's some applications for that. But given the technologies that we have now, given the ability to manage these systems the way we can now, we should use what we have now and scale it in an intelligent way. Because we can do it now. We don't have to wait for 10 years to 20 years from now. Even if it's successful, it's too late.
So what are the challenges for operations for you guys? What are the challenges in actually having the and you're all being pushed in that direction to move towards zero emissions. We're all seeing that, whether it's Freeport, whether it's Anglo, whether it's Rio, whoever in the room. I mean, literally, we're being pushed in this direction, and our legislators are saying, you need to do this, and we're going to hold you accountable to this. How are we getting there? Because there's going to be a limit to which we can make all those little adjustments that Casey talked about. Yes, maybe we'll reduce by 10-15%. Maybe we'll get there, but we're not all the way there. And we're going to be held accountable to something. Have our governments and legislation put things in place so stringent to a level that we really are not able to meet it without thinking completely outside the box? Are those challenges that you guys worry about within your operations? Or do we leave that to the senior managers to worry about? Do we just push it up the chain?